Welcome to the Teach the Geek podcast, where engineer and author Neil Thompson talks with STEM professionals about public speaking, a struggle for many of us. Whether you're a novice public speaker or a proficient one, you can always pick up tips on how to improve. Here's your host, Neil Thompson.
Welcome to another edition of Teach the Geek Interviews. My name is Neil Thompson. I am the founder of Teach the Geek. I work with technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. And you can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. If you're watching this on YouTube, a comment would be great. And if you're listening to the podcast, a review would be great. Today, my guest is Dr. Anmol Agrawal. She's a security researcher. So what does that mean? And how'd she come to that work? And how does speaking figure into all of that? So I have a bunch of questions, so let's just get into it. Welcome to Teach the Geek Interviews.
Thank you for having me. Yes, so I'm a security researcher. So for those who are not aware, security researcher is basically cybersecurity researcher. So my job at a high level is just to research different technologies, different systems, and seeing what security vulnerabilities might exist. And that's why I'm called a security researcher. So I actually came about this work. I wasn't planning on being in cybersecurity. I initially went to school as a business major, believe it or not. And I really liked economics when I was growing up. And then in college, I decided that I really like the tech field, that it's really exciting and I want to be in tech. So then I switched the major. I studied computer science, and then I decided to do cybersecurity.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's really interesting. So when it comes to your actual job as a security researcher, what does that entail again?
Yeah, so it's basically cybersecurity, if you've heard of that. So my job is to basically examine all of these different technologies, like you think of AI, machine learning, systems. And then how do you examine those systems for any vulnerabilities, you know, security flaws, basically. And so my job is to look at that and see, are there any security flaws with AI, for example?
So what made you decide to go into that line of work?
Yeah, so I explained I was in tech, and then I decided I really like cybersecurity, because I think everyone watching right now, you've heard of the cybersecurity attacks. It's very important, and we hear it all the time. Like, AI is going to take over the world. AI is going to take away all of our jobs. So I decided to basically focus on what people are doing. If they want to know about cybersecurity, then I want to be in cybersecurity as well. And then I thought AI was really interesting just because everyone is talking about it right now. And AI is so complicated, right? AI is not just like a traditional computer program. It can be very complicated. So I think we need more and more people involved in AI security research.
So if you were to work in, other people are considering work in cybersecurity, what other types of, I guess, roles could they even get into? And what kind of background do you need to have to even work in cybersecurity?
So cybersecurity, people always think of the hacker in the basement, right? But there are many more jobs other than that. So there's something called red team, which is a traditional hacking penetration testing. That's when you're hacking into stuff. Then there's blue team, that's more defensive cybersecurity. So it's defending against the hackers. So you think of something like an analyst that would look at all of these attacks and examines them. There are also cybersecurity roles that might not be as technical. So even just designing a system is cybersecurity. Maybe you want to be a computer programmer, you could be a secure software engineer. And there's also something called governance, risk, and compliance, which is basically the policy aspect of cybersecurity. So a lot of these standards organizations, like for example, in the US, we have NIST. NIST organization basically needs to create standards to secure all of these technologies. So those are some of the roles in cybersecurity. And as far as educational requirements, they vary. So personally, I have a computer science background. So I studied computer science in college and in grad school. But you don't need a college degree to do cybersecurity. You might need it for very specialized roles, like, for example, my job, AI security research. But if you were to do something like a junior penetration testing role or a junior analyst role, you might not even need a college degree. So a lot of times people have their own certifications and boot camps. So if you were to just look up cybersecurity certifications on the internet, you would see all of these different options. So sometimes to get a job, what people do is they get a certification to show that they have the skill level. But you don't need a college degree. You just need to show you have some skills or even that you're interested in it and you are willing to learn those skills.
So I know you'd mentioned that you're a security researcher, but I don't know if you could, certainly you don't have a crystal ball, but do you have a plan as to where you want to go with your working life, or do you need to, or would you like to stay a researcher for some time and move into something else? And if that, if you do want to move into something else, what is that something else?
Yeah, so I know I probably will stay in technology. I really like technology. It's very exciting. We see all of these advances coming out now. So I will definitely stay in technology. And I really like my security research role. So I really like the idea of AI security. I even did a doctoral degree where I studied cybersecurity analytics, which was basically the same thing, AI security. So I think I would really like to stay in the role. I am starting to speak more because I really enjoy talking with people and spreading awareness to all of these ideas because I think a lot of people don't understand like AI, what is AI, or what is cybersecurity. So I like speaking to spread more awareness and to teach people about what AI and cybersecurity is.
When it comes to the speaking that you do, who's your typical audience?
So I'm typically speaking at conferences that are designed for technical audiences. So cybersecurity conferences, like for example, I spoke at Pacific Hackers Conference. It's basically cybersecurity conferences where you would have people already in the cybersecurity field, but they might not be aware of the field that I'm in. I've also been speaking at industry events like Secure World as well. There are also local meetups that I sometimes speak at to gain more local awareness of these issues because sometimes the local community can really benefit from knowing about what AI is, what cybersecurity is.
When did you realize that speaking in front of people could be of use to you?
So I think I was always really interested in speaking. So I actually, in middle school, I was on the speech and debate team. So I was always really interested in speaking. And I think I realized public speaking was important even back in school. Because if you think about school projects, right, we have to always present in front of audiences. Typically, a lot of your classes involve public speaking. And I also realized that public speaking really helps you when it comes to interviews. Because if you think about it, an interview is kind of like this podcast we're doing, right? So it helps you get a job if you are good at public speaking.
Indeed. When it comes to speaking in public speaking generally, is that something you've always been good at? And if not, what'd you do to get better at it?
So I was not always good at public speaking. That's something. So, growing up, I was very shy. I was not always interested in public speaking. But, like I mentioned, I was in speech and debate in school. And so, I worked really hard to get better at it. So, back when I was like 14, 15, I was staying up all night trying to prepare my speech and get it just right and research all the facts and be prepared to speak on that topic. So I definitely had to work hard at it because for me, I was very shy growing up. It wasn't natural to be able to talk in front of people. I would get nervous a lot. But what really helps me is practice and just, you know, like this podcast, just keep talking to people, different people, practicing, talking in front of family and friends before you talk in front of a live audience also helps.
Indeed. Yeah, I can certainly see that having, you know, being in front of a friendly audience helps. And then you get in front of the audience that maybe isn't so friendly. Maybe then you get it's not as challenging for sure. When it comes to the presentations that you've given, do you have a process for putting them together? And if so, what is it?
Yeah, so when it comes to presentations that I've given, I typically like to write everything down on a piece of paper and pen. So I know that's old fashioned, but I really like getting my thoughts down on just paper and writing it by hand. So I like to divide my speech into 3 to 5 points. So introduction, conclusion, and then just have an outline of what I want to talk about. So to give you an example, one of my topics is introduction to adversarial machine learning, which might sound like a mouthful, right? So first, I would say, I'm talking about introduction to adversarial machine learning. Well, let's first talk about what AI is, what machine learning is, because without that, you won't be able to be prepared. Then I say, okay, now that you know what AI and machine learning is, what is adversarial machine learning, which is basically the study of attacks and defenses against machine learning models. So you first need to start with the beginning part where your audience doesn't know anything about your field and you explain it to them. And then you go into some examples. I like to stick to maybe 3 examples per talk. So just explaining the example, what it is at a high level, and then real world examples, like, for example, the Tesla car. And then after that, you conclude it, you summarize what it is you're talking about, and that's the conclusion. So that's typically how I structure my presentations. So I like having an outline, but I like having a bulleted list.
Okay, yeah, that certainly sounds like a streamlined process for sure. Do you ever get nervous before giving presentations? And if so, how do you deal with your nerves?
Yeah, I do get nervous. I think even after speaking in front of many different audiences, I still get nervous. So in terms of dealing with my nerves, I think, you know, for example, I have water here with me to try to stay hydrated. I also like to drink warm water or warm tea if that's an option right before my speech. So for example, if I'm traveling in a hotel, I like to drink something warm before going to the conference venue. Also what helps me is just, you know, taking a deep breath, going to a quiet room, taking a deep breath before you go into the room to present. I think that helps me stay grounded and prepare for my speeches.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I certainly can see that too. I try to do the same thing, kind of just collect your thoughts and get away from the hustle and bustle of whatever's going on in the meeting room. Just, you know, get that done and then you get out there and then you talk about what you're going to talk about. I think it's really helpful. So for the people who are listening or watching our conversation on Mole, what would you say would be your number one tip in becoming more effective in presenting?
That's a really great question. I think my number one tip is to just keep practicing. So all of us that are public speaking right now, we're speaking in front of people. We all started not having any experience with this. So don't be intimidated by these other speakers that you see and just keep practicing. Like I said, start out small, even if it's just talking in front of yourself, you know, in front of the mirror, at least that's a start. And then talk in front of friends, family. And then when you feel comfortable, maybe talk in your local community, maybe at a smaller conference. And then before you know it, you'll be speaking to larger audiences and have more confidence at work.
Yeah, those are great tips. And thank you for offering them. This has been a really great conversation. Thank you so much for being a guest. How can people get in touch with you?
Thank you, Neil. It was great being on your show. You can get in touch with me on LinkedIn. I can share the link with you, but it's basically you'll find me on LinkedIn by searching for my first and last name. And my URL is basically my first name, the letter S, and my last name.
Excellent. Well, yeah, we certainly will have that available for the people who are listening or watching. Again, thank you for being here, everyone. My name is Neil Thompson. I'm the founder of Teach the Geek. I work with technical professionals so they can present more effectively, especially in front of non-technical audiences. And you can learn more about that at teachthegeek.com. Again, that's teachthegeek.com. Until next time, take care and stay safe. Thanks, Anmol.
Thank you, Neil.
Well, everyone, that marks another episode in the can. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like these episodes and want to support Teach the Geek, please subscribe, share, and like on any of your favorite podcast platforms. Or on all of them. Also, if you prefer to watch the episodes, head on over to the YouTube channel at youtube.teachthegeek.com. Until next time.